Hey, and welcome to the Mickey and Minutes Podcast, the short Disney show.
Quick conversations, information, and inspiration.
I'm your host, Nick Lazaga.
And I'm Andy Goots.
Let's go! Hey, what's going on, Andrew?
We're back.
We're back again. So, something we don't usually do on this show, Andrew, we don't really ever talk about rumors, right?
Rumors. Okay.
Rumors. Yeah. You know, there's always so much going on in the Disney parks. Disney news just everywhere all the time.
And it's changing constantly too.
Yeah, it's constantly changing, constantly evolving. And there's always something coming down the rumor mill, right? Okay. And I've never, you know, in all the years of doing this show, I've never really tackled rumors. I always thought that by the time you talk about something, it's either disproven.
So
but there
the
is
rumor?
Something. Yeah, there is something that I did want to talk about today. So I thought we'd take some time and have a conversation about this because, you know, I have a lot of thoughts. So
Okay. The
rumor is that they're going to close the Frontierland shooting arcade in Magic Kingdom to make way for a DVC lounge.
What's a DVC lounge?
So a Disney Vacation Club
members
exclusive little lounge area. But they've been popping up all over the place.
Where's another
Epcot
one?
Epcot has a DVC lounge above Imagination, the Imagination Pavilion, the top of the pyramid. Yeah, and so these have been popping up. And that's not necessarily the issue on its own. What I really want to talk about is just the fact that this is popping up in Frontierland, and it's going to be replacing an opening day attraction. They're chipping away at Frontierland. So let's talk about Magic Kingdom's Frontierland really quick here. First of all, Andrew, are you a fan of Frontierland? Like, just in general?
I mean, of course. Yeah. I mean, all the lands are iconic for Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, yeah. So the attractions in Frontierland, currently, we have Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, Frontierland Shooting Gallery. We have the Country Bear Jamboree.
Which is getting revitalized, right? They announced that. That's getting a new facelift.
Right. And we had Splash Mountain. And let's talk about the elephant in the room. Frontierland as a whole is going away because of this big New Orleans-themed elephant, Tiana's Bayou Adventure. When this land opened, it was obviously themed to the Old West. And one of the really cool things about the way Magic Kingdom was originally laid out is you have Liberty Square, right? Which is set, you know, at the start of America. And if you know anything about American history, you probably remember the expression westward expansion.
Ah, yeah.
Right? So westward expansion is kind of showcased in the Magic Kingdom because as you move physically west throughout the park, you enter Frontierland from Liberty Square. And that's such a cool thing for me, right? And of course, Big Thunder Mountain wasn't an opening day attraction. That was built later based on an idea that Imagineering had for an attraction called Big Thunder Mesa, which is actually going to be a couple of attractions, right? We were going to have a dark ride themed to the Old West. That idea ended up getting scrapped in favor of Pirates of the Caribbean coming to the Magic Kingdom. But what we did end up getting from it was the runaway mine train idea of Big Thunder Mountain. Country Bear Jamboree opened with the park. And that went through several iterations throughout its years. They had different versions of it, right? They had the Vacation Hoedown. They had the Christmas Special. They had the classic Country Bear Jamboree. And those kind of shuffled throughout its years. Most recently, it's been the regular Country Bear Jamboree. But of course, that attraction just closed. So technically right now, it's not even open. It's going to come back as the Country Bear Musical Jamboree this summer, I believe. And it's going to be a bunch of Disney covers.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, I have feelings about this because
it needed an update. Country Bears was great. It needed an update.
And I think it needed an update. Yeah.
To re-engage audiences, I think making the Country Bears do folk covers of existing Disney songs would hit just a little bit more.
My question is, did it need to be Disney songs? We talked about this on a previous show where like all the fireworks are now Disney sing-alongs, right? And then we have PhilharMagic down the way, which is a Disney sing-along. And now Country Bear is going to be a Disney sing-along. And yeah, they're making it country music, so it kind of fits. But, you know, one can argue how much does it really fit if they're, you know, making
in
it
this, in
a
this
Disney
situation
song.
When it's strictly like the theme of it is bears singing, like they're playing in a band.
Right.
And if they maintain, I guess, like a little bit more of a folk theme, of course, which I know that they will, I feel like out of all of the examples, this one is the one that's the most appropriate. Also, too, we have to think about the growth of the library of Disney songs as the years go on. As years go on, more and more bangers are being released by them, you know, that can be incorporated in a setting like this. So I like, as I do agree with you, like what we were talking about, you know, our previous pods about, you know, Epcot kind of just straying away a little bit from the Epcot theme. Magic Kingdom at its core, in my eyes, is the most just Disney out of all of the parks. So if any of the parks were to incorporate just, you know, Disney songs in general, I think it'd be Magic Kingdom and I think it'd be Country Bears, man.
Yeah, but I think if you're thinking about the theming of the land, and maybe I might be being really picky, it takes place in a certain time period, right? You know, Big Thunder Mountain kind of sets the stage for it to be like during the Gold Rush years. So really, if you're being in the timeline, singing modern Disney songs doesn't really work. But if you're thinking about them being a band who does cover songs, as you know, we were in Folksmith together. That was the name of our band.
Totally.
We did cover songs. So I like that just from that point of view. But all right, so I'll let that one slide.
I guess, could you make the argument that that kind of vibe of keeping things too much just in that era of the American Old West, dated isn't the right word, but maybe just doesn't hit the same as it used to?
I get that. But then we get to the big, like I mentioned before, the elephant in the room.
The New Orleans elephant.
Yeah, the Mardi Gras elephant. I guess what kind of sparked this was two things. Number one, when they announced this, well, when this rumor came out about the shooting gallery closing, that was an opening day attraction. That was super, super like Old West. You got to shoot, you know, the rifles at these targets, and it was really fun. And that going away to just become a lounge, that takes away a big chunk of, you know, Frontierland stuff to do, I guess.
I'm okay with them taking away the shooting gallery, because I guess that was just kind of hit or miss, and that is a kind of a dated attraction. But just making it a lounge, that's a miss. That's good real estate. That's not being used to its full potential.
And I think, you know, the problem with that is Disney tends to have this mindset right now, or it seems like they do, that everything needs to have a virtual queue or a 5-hour long wait for it to be considered successful.
True.
And I feel like with all these really long waits in the park, it's nice to have something that you can just walk up to and have a good time and not feel like you have to wait in line for it. And are they taking out some sort of capacity that people can do, but they're replacing it with something that has a very limited, like, niche audience.
It's exclusive. That's a good point. Yeah. You have to be a member of DVC in order to get in.
Exactly. So that's part of Frontierland that's technically going away. And then the other thing that made me want to talk about this is they released the new attraction poster for Tiana's Bayou Adventure.
Right.
Have you seen this?
The attraction poster? Maybe. Let me look it up and see if it's what you're thinking of.
Go ahead and look it up. It's been all over Instagram in the last couple of days. But while you're looking it up, I mean, to say on the bottom, it says Frontierland, but you're looking at it and it's Tiana. It's the yellow one. Yeah. Yeah. And it has the critters on the side of it.
That's
true. And it says Frontierland.
And it says Frontierland.
In what universe would you look at New Orleans and say, oh, the American frontier?
It does say Frontierland with very New Orleans-esque buildings directly behind it.
The building on the bottom left is Tiana's place from the movie, which goes again to another rumor that they're going to close Pecos Bill, Tall Tale Inn and Cafe, to put Tiana's place, the restaurant, which I'm fine with because that's really cool. They opened that in Disneyland and it's been really successful.
And it's on theme with its partner attraction right next door.
Sure. And that works for me.
But it doesn't work for Frontierland.
It doesn't work for Frontierland. And I've been saying this since the beginning, since they announced this project, that this whole Tiana project doesn't work in Disney World the way it works in Disneyland.
Because Disneyland has New Orleans Square already.
Exactly. And this, you know, replacing Splash Mountain in Disneyland is in Critter Country right next to New Orleans Square. They're not changing the land in Disneyland from Critter Country. It's still going to be in Critter Country, but it's directly adjacent to New Orleans Square. So the flow is the perfect
transition.
Right. And then the Critter Country theme plays into Winnie the Pooh right next door. And it all works so, so well in Disneyland. And then I feel like they're like, oh, well, we got to do it in Disney World too. But it's in Frontierland. In Disneyland, they have this New Orleans and this Critter Country that coexists with Frontierland. they're not losing any of their Frontierland in Disneyland. We're sacrificing a big chunk of our Frontierland. Now, while someone could argue that Splash Mountain never really fit Frontierland anyways, you know, I mean, sure, yeah. it was, you know, Deep South kind of stuff. And that, you know, that's a fair argument. But then you're replacing it with something that still doesn't fit. And not only does it not fit, but it's in between Frontierland proper and Big Thunder. So
you're making the point that Frontierland is now basically segmented, and it's interrupted by a brief stint of New Orleans, then to be continued by Big Thunder.
Exactly. So a solution that we were thinking about, I was talking about this with Chelsea, you know, there's that bridge in front of Splash Mountain, and then there's the walkway, the boardwalk that goes along the Rivers of America. If you were to make that Splash Mountain and then the Pecos Bill area, like a New Orleans Square kind of area, and then have the bridge in front be the continuation of Frontierland and have that be its own land kind of behind it. If you cut it that way, it works, right?
Yeah, it's hard, man. It just seems like Frontierland in general is just going through a little bit of an identity crisis.
And that's the other question I was going to ask you. We prepped a little bit over text message, and I asked you, what do you think the problem is? Do you think they're actually trying to get rid of Frontierland, or you think it's just, you know, they're just putting Tiana in? And you said something really interesting. You want to say what you texted me?
Yeah. Like, I don't know if they're trying to get rid of Frontierland, but could you make, and it kind of goes back to what I was saying a little bit in the beginning of the episode, could you make the point that the American frontier, the Old West, just in general, it's old fashioned, the same way that Buzz was cooler than Woody, right? The same way Buzz took over Andy's heart over Woody, the cowboyness, the this and that, and even in modern day, right? Think of the last good cowboy movie, man, that was released, right? Like, for kids growing up, right? Yeah, like it was everywhere back then. Back when Magic Kingdom was in its inception.
Well, especially when Walt was doing it, Davy Crockett was right. the thing.
It's not a thing anymore. Exactly. Sure. It's not a thing at all anymore. So even, I'll even make the argument that this next generation, when you just say the word frontier, they don't even associate it with the American frontier, right? So they could look at Tiana and just like, Frontierland eventually could be synonymous with Adventureland. Just frontier is also just generic
the
frontier,
adventure. Okay. I see your point. I'd say, honestly, kids these days aren't understanding frontier, American frontier. That's the school system's fault. And I can say that. I'm a teacher. So I can say that. But besides that,
I mean, that's also a part of it too, man. Yeah.
I think it's funny that you mentioned Toy Story, because there was a strong rumor for a really long time. And in fact, there was some concept art that was leaked and everything, that a while ago, the Country Bears was going to be rethemed to a Woody's Roundup show.
Oh, like a marionette, like
exactly
the TV show.
Exactly. Yeah. That never happened.
I'm glad that would not have hit, man.
Yeah. But I guess my question is the Princess and the Frog, is that the property that is the quote Buzz Lightyear of this situation? Because if you really think about like what warrants a Disney attraction, it's an extremely popular movie that, you know, made a certain amount of money, that had a certain amount of popularity that usually warranted a sequel or two or three or four. Princess and the Frog, when it came out, it was not a financial success. It never got a sequel. But they are making a Princess and the Frog TV show for Disney Plus, but I feel like that was probably decided when they decided to do this, right?
Do you think, I don't disagree with you, and statistically and factually, yes. The Princess and the Frog was not as awesome, you know, as it was anticipated to be. But with the coming of streaming and Disney Plus, Princess and the Frog has a revitalization a little bit, you know, like
a cult following now.
It does have a cult following. I mean, even like my brother and his niece, my niece, her favorite Disney is Princess and the Frog. She loves it, right? And
yeah. And don't get me wrong, it's a fantastic movie.
The songs, the music, slap. It's so good. And so, like, I will say too that, you know, out of a lot of the princesses IP, you know, Tiana was a good choice to kind of just bring a little bit of something new out, right? You know, like stray away from just the stereotypical Anna and Elsa's and Rapunzel's and, you know, go to the last 2D animated movie that came out that honestly has some of the best original songs that we've seen in a while.
And I don't disagree. And I really wholeheartedly agree that Tiana does deserve a full attraction. But, you know, when was the last time there was a waterfall or a mountain in Louisiana. When was the last time anybody, you know, went down a waterfall on a bayou? I don't think that geographically works.
But it is a ride.
But it is a ride. Okay. I mean, they're going all out with the realism on this attraction, you know, hiring New Orleans, you know, Louisiana, like artists and all these things. And they're going for realism as much as they can, you know, besides the cartoon critters and stuff. But all the details is rooted in realism. And I think they miss the mark with the geography of it all. And maybe I'm just thinking too hard into it.
Maybe that one, maybe just a smidge, my man. Because I mean, I bet you on the inside, I'm very excited to see what it looks like.
The inside's probably gonna be gorgeous.
It's gonna be amazing. It's gotta have a drop, right? It's gotta have something. It's gotta have something. I mean,
they're saying that it's like a salt mine or something, a salt mound or something.
Okay.
Which
okay.
I guess do exist in Louisiana. But you know, whatever. To kind of close this out, they're saying, you know, the other rumor, it's not really a rumor. They've talked about this before, the Blue Sky Beyond Big Thunder project, right?
Blue Sky Beyond Big Thunder.
Yeah, that's what they're called. It's the blue sky thinking that the Imagineers are having. They've been throwing things at the wall to think of whatever sticks, and they're calling it Beyond Big Thunder. And I'm sure you've seen this concept. Actually, we talked about this concept art before off air.
Is this the one that also has, like, originally it was going to have the Encanto land in it and even, like, a Disney Villains area?
Right, that's exactly what it is.
Okay. And Coco. Yes, exactly, yeah. So which I'm all for, man. I'm all for that.
Dude, yes, absolutely. I'm all for all of that stuff. But, you know, if they're going to bring Coco, I could see Coco being, you know, Beyond Big Thunder with, you know, landscaping kind of stuff sort of working. Mm-hmm. But that's not Frontierland either.
No, it's not. It would need to be its own thing.
Mexico. Yeah. Yeah. So once Tiana's Bayou Adventure opens and once all this, you know, stuff happens, Country Bears and the restaurant of Tiana opens, what's going to be left of Frontierland is really just a little strip, you know, before the shooting gallery, which, you know, again, will be a DVC lounge at this point.
Yeah.
It'll be Tom Sawyer Island, which I'm sure
that's going to get rebranded very soon. Soon.
It's already a pirate island in Disneyland, so that's not going to be long for this world. You're just left with Country Bears singing Disney covers, and then all the way on the other side, Big Thunder Mountain.
Yeah.
Is there going to be a Frontierland? Do you think they're going to get rid of that name one day?
Do I think they're going to get rid of the name Frontierland? No. No,
so they're just
going to
keep Frontierland with no through line. No. And that kind of bothers me, Andrew. Like, honestly, someone who grew up and I loved being able to go into the different lands and having a connection. And, you know, we could talk about Tomorrowland in the same kind of way, you know, Tomorrowland, the future that never was. That was a theme in 1994. They've kind of gotten away with that, you know, and they put Stitch and took that out. You know, it's aliens. I guess it kind of works. But then, like, you have Monsters, Inc., which is that Tomorrowland?
Is that the future? Buzz Lightyear is Tomorrowland. Buzz Lightyear is Tomorrowland.
Is it
that
though? It's space. He's a toy.
It's space. But spaceships, you know, it's right next to Astro Orbiter.
Yeah.
Buzz Lightyear fits.
One can make that. I mean, all right. I just missed Delta Dreamflight. But anyways, one can make the argument that Tomorrowland maybe works, maybe doesn't work. It's not as bad as Disneyland's Tomorrowland, which is, you know, just kind of a mess.
Nothing.
You know, without a people mover. But regardless, I guess I'm going to toss it over to the listeners. We had this interesting conversation. And what do you guys think? Number one, when all this is said and done, should they keep the name Frontierland? And number two, you know, what do you think of all the changes coming to Frontierland?
And to all the lands. Nick brings up a good point, you know, about all the different quote unquote lands of Magic Kingdom, right? You know, how much of the integrity is being kept with all these new changes? Are they okay? Are they okay? Are they not okay? You know, I guess honestly, you can make the argument that Fantasyland is the only one that's kind of kept its main theme or gusto since opening.
I would even say that Fantasyland even got improved when they opened New Fantasyland and they expanded on the story of Fantasyland.
Yeah, yeah,
they
put, that's a good point too.
Beyond the castle walls, the Enchanted Forest, all that stuff, I think really worked really well for Fantasyland. But, you know, you look at things coming down the line like Universal's Epic Universe, where the different themed lands, the theme is IP. So every theme is an IP. Is that what's happening in Disney? Are they just making IP pods?
Disney started it. Disney, you could make the argument that Disney started that trend with Star Wars World, with Toy Story World, with Cars World.
Well,
right?
Even before that, technically Harry Potter came before all that.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. You're right.
But you know, it's just a thing where they both realize this IP thing works. So it now does. They're putting a Tiana mini land, essentially is what it is, in the middle of Frontierland. And you know, like you said, Galaxy's Edge, like you said, Avengers Campus in California.
Yes, yes.
That's the future of Disney Parks. So do the themes of Frontierland, Tomorrowland, the original themes that Walt came up with, do those even work anymore?
Let's think about this now too. You bring up a great point. And I know we were trying to end. Let's bring it back.
Let's keep going.
Let's bring it back. So
hey guys, so clearly that wasn't the end of the conversation. Stay tuned for part two to hear us discuss our thoughts on the future and evolution of Disney theme parks, and maybe even some Epic Universe talk. But for now, thanks for listening. Bye. Thanks again for listening to the Mickey in Minutes podcast. If you liked it, subscribe and leave a review on Apple or Spotify. Follow us on Instagram at Mickey in Minutes and check out mickeyinminutes.weebly.com for show notes and exclusive content.